Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you once again. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the living Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, we thank God for another blessed day in the Lord. And before we go into the message today, I ask that wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me as we petition the Lord once again for His Spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You in the name of Thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, who we give all glory and honor unto. We thank You for this opportunity once again that You have opened for us to come before You in humility and to petition You once again for the presence of Your Spirit. And therefore, Lord, we take advantage of this opportunity You've given us, and therefore we come to You in humility and faith. And we petition You once again that Your Spirit will be with us as we take this journey into Your Word. Father, I pray personally that You will anoint the words of my mouth, that it may bring glory and honor to Your name. Direct and guide my words. And I pray that everyone that's listening will be touched by the Spirit of God, that they will receive the inward witness that the Word of God speaks about in the name of Jesus. For Your Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Lord, as I sow the seed, I ask that You will water and bring forth the increase. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I thank You. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Tonight, we're changing on with what is called the second message that Jesus sent out March the 4th, 1927 through the Elijah that He mentioned in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4. That He said He would send His messenger, amen, the resurrected John the Baptist. And we're continuing with the second message. The last time I left off on the second message, I believe that I was talking to you and showing you from the Word of God where God said He would give visions. Because in this second message that the Lord sent, He had the angel to tell Brother Fetting, come with me and I will show you a vision. And as I said before, it's amazing that there are some among Christianity who teaches that when the last apostle died, that the gifts of the Spirit went with it. A vision that is given to you by God is the operation of the Holy Ghost given something unto you. Visions normally can, as we receive, reveal to you, give you a word of knowledge, can give you a word of wisdom, and let you know what's happening now and what will happen in the future. Now, I'm going to continue to read on in the second message about this vision that the Lord, operating through His angel, had showed Brother Fetty. And this is the words of Brother Fetting, right? He said, in a few moments, and this is the vision that was given to Brother Fetting. He said, in a few moments, we were standing on the temple lot, right in the middle of the lot. And then the whole lot was raised up so I could see, I thought, the whole world. Now, the temple lot is the place of the Lord, pointed out by the Lord where He wants His temple. As He mentioned in Malachi 3, Zechariah, also in the book of Zechariah, and in the book of Haggai, that it's the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord to be built in the last days. So Brother Fetting says that in a few moments we were standing on the temple lot. He's talking about him and the angel, right in the middle of the lot, and then the whole lot was raised up so I could see the, I thought, the whole world. Then he said, all at once, I saw a woman weeping. Her clothes were torn. She was bleeding. Her face looked pale and worn. And she said, look, and all around the temple lot was a smooth, look, and all around the temple lot was a smooth, level piece of land stretched out for a long way. It was made up of territory from all the lands on it, from all the lands, and on it were people standing, sober-looking, worried. She said, oh, my children, come unto me that I may embrace you. I love you, and I want you to come to me. They paid no attention to her. She wept and was grieved. Now, this woman he saw in his vision represented the church. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that one of the symbolic meanings of the of a woman in the scriptures is the church. Ephesians 5 tells us, and also the book of Revelation tells us, that this bride had made herself ready. Amen. So therefore, this woman he saw was the church. The church that Christ set up. Okay. And once again, this message I'm giving to you, I'm pointing you to Jesus. So you can ask Jesus if what I'm telling you is true. Okay. Now, he describes this woman weeping. Her clothes were torn. She was bleeding. Her face looked pale and worn. This is the condition of how she looked now. Okay. In other words, the church that he has set up is not looking too good a condition herself. She's weeping. She's going through a sadness. Okay. She's wounded. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he says, she says, look, and he looked all around the temple, and he saw a smooth, level piece of land stretched out for a long way. He said, and this land was made up of territory from all the lands. And then he said, on it were people standing, sober looking, worried. These are the, of God's people. Because he says, the woman that he saw, she said again, oh, my children, come unto me that I may embrace you. I love you, and I want you to come to me. They paid no attention to her. She wept and was grieved. The woman, representing the church that Christ has set up, called out to the people which were her children. And she said, come unto me that I may embrace you. She said, I love you, and I want you to come unto me. But he said they paid her no attention. Because, see, the condition she looked in was not attracting per se. You know, and they pay her no attention. Amen. And people be like that. You know, if you don't look as good as they do, if you look in the worst condition of them, then they're not going to pay you no attention. Which lets you know that the church that Christ set up, Christ has to do a work in her too. Amen. Hallelujah. And in the vision, she wept and was grieved. She wept and was grieved because they pay her no attention. She's calling out to them. They looking worried and all that. This is what's happening today with many of the people of God, in a state of worry, just worried. Okay? Hallelujah. You know, and the worry is taking its toll on many of God's people. Because, see, worry can manifest and even hurt us in the physical body also as well. Amen? A lot of sicknesses and ailments have come because of worry. People have lost weight. They have, and then worry offsets you into a state of depression. And people, and let me get more specific, some of the people of God in a worry state have went into a state of depression have lost weight, has no desire to do the work of the Lord, you name it and all of that, okay? And so as the vision goes on, in the vision, he said that she said once again, look beyond. And brother said, I looked beyond and could see a great valley all around this level land. It was fog and mist, and I could see rushing torrents of rivers and could hear all kinds of yelling and noise. And she said, oh, some of my children are down there. They are in danger. Some will be lost. She wept again. Then this vision disappeared. Now, once again, she says, look beyond. And Brother Fetty said he saw a great valley around this level land. And remember, he mentions he saw this smooth, level piece of land, as he says, stretched out for a long way. And it was made up of territory from all the lands. And now this woman who represents the church, when she says, look beyond, he said, I can look beyond and I can see a great valley. And he said, all around this level land, he said, there were fog and mist and rushing torrents of rivers and could hear all kinds of yelling and noise. See, God's people is among contention, trials, tribulations, you name it, temptations. That's all in this fog and mist. Hallelujah. Because what can fog do? It can blind you. You know, today, you see, sometimes the weatherman will say, they'll put out a fog advisory. Now, you know, when fog comes, especially thick enough, it's hard for you to see even when you're driving, okay? And see, Satan comes to blind men with temptations. And see, that's what's going on with many of the people of God. They're down in the valley, okay, where there's fog and mist and rushing torrents of river, where there's temptations, trials, persecutions, okay, contention. Because he said he could hear all kinds of yelling and noise, all kinds of contention. That's what's going on. If you look in the churches today, there's no place among the churches today where you don't have some kind of contention or confusion. Amen. Hallelujah. The temptation is running rampant. Okay. And she makes this remark in the vision. She said, some of my children are down there. They are in danger. And she said, and some will be lost. See, that take care of once saved, always saved. Amen. It's not true. Some are going to be lost in this fog and mist and torrents of river. Hallelujah. Some people are going to turn away from the Lord because they're going to say, listen, I can't deal with this stuff no more. And if God is God and he's supposed to do this and that for me, how come he ain't helping me? And they're going to turn away from the Lord. Some of them are going to be lost. Some of them are going to be lost in the contention. Some of them are going to be lost in the temptations. Amen. They're going to give in and turn and turn to sin. Hallelujah. He said, then this vision disappeared. Now, he goes on to say, the messenger, which is the angel, said unto him, he said, come with me and I will show you another vision. So now he's going to see another vision. First he saw one vision, now he's going to see another. And then Brother Fred said, he took me to the northeast corner of the temple lot. And he said, look, here I could see men coming with their tools, going to the middle of the temple lot, laying their tools down. Some put on mason clothes, others carpenter's aprons. But all was solemn and quiet, and slowly they started to work on the temple. And this is the temple of the Lord, mentioned in Malachi, Zechariah, and Haggai. Okay? And so Brother Fetty said he could see from the northeast corner of the temple lot, he could see men come with their tools. What did they start to do? Build on the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said all was solemn and quiet, and they had the same mind. And he said, and slowly they started to work on the temple. It wasn't a fast start. It was a slow. They slowly started to work on the temple. Hallelujah. Then he says, the work started very slowly, but it began to grow. See, that's what God is doing today. Somebody needs to hear this too today. See, God is doing a work in you. Some of you, he's doing a work in your local churches. It's starting off slow. Some of y'all, man, we ain't hardly got nobody, no members. It's starting off slow, but guess what? It's going to grow if you do it the Lord's way. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when they are building in this temple of the Lord, as Brother Fetty saw in the vision, he said it started slowly, but it began to grow. Why? Because it is done the Lord's way. Okay? See, sometimes people look for quick starts. Okay? And God have you at a certain pace. I have been guilty of it many times. I'll be thinking, okay, Lord, why won't this thing happen now? But God brings you in the pace, but the most important thing is there will be growth. There will be growth. So he said the work began slowly. The work started very slowly, but it began to grow. He said, then I could see people come from every direction. But when they got to the temple lot, they would take off their hats, walk over to where they were at work, and a man stood there with a treasury. They put something in and walked away, but would keep their hats off until they were off the temple lot. Why? Because they respected their sacred ground. Remember what God told Moses. Amen. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Okay? Hallelujah. The temple lot, pointed out by the hand of the Lord, holy ground. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And Brother Fetty said, I could see people come from every direction. Hallelujah. And when they got to the temple lot, see, they would take off their hats. All of them was in harmony in respecting the place of the Lord. See, this is what God is doing to work with his people today, that all will come in harmony in respecting the things of God. See, right now, one of the problems that's going on in the churches is that there's not a unified respect of harmony for the things of God. You got some in the church that do, and you got others in the church that don't respect the things of God. Okay? I mean, when the word is going forth being preached, you got some who's being attentive and listening. You got others playing on their cell phone. Amen. No respect. When the anointed word is being preached or taught, no respect. But telling you, say, I love the Lord. And get mad if you said something to him. Okay? Amen. Well, you can say amen, oh me. And see, these people that Brother Fetty saw come from every direction had one mind in respecting the Lord. That's why when they walked in the temple lot, they took off their shoes, you know, took off their hats, and amen. They kept their hats off. They respected the Lord. Then he said, they were all colors and kinds, old and young, but they all acted alike. See, there was no discrimination. Amen. There was no discrimination. He said, they all acted alike under the same spirit, operating the same spirit. Okay? See, that's one of the things that God is working on to root out of the church. It's the prejudice and the racism. Now, some of y'all go, oh, man, no. Ain't that? Oh, yeah. Because I know some of you wants to say, well, it used to be, it ain't right now. Yeah, it's still right now. It's taking on a cover-up face, but it's still there. Oh, yeah, it's still there. Hallelujah. It's still there. And so Brother Fetty said he saw that they were all colors and kinds, old and young. Now, there go the words old and young. Wasn't just old folks, just wasn't young folks. Old and young. And see, that's the other problem we're having is that people of different colors having a problem fully, I'm talking about fully working together, and people of the different ages have a problem fully working together. You got the old thinking that the young is too young, and the young thinking the old is too old. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then Brother Fetty goes on and says, he said, then the messenger said, look, and I looked up and saw the ground had also raised, and I could see the woman again, but this time in a better dress. She looked up with a smile, her clothes were white, her hat was very fine and becoming the shape of a crown with 12 bright stars. Her children were coming to her from every clime, even from the valley. The mist had raised. They were slowly building on the temple to the west, the east, the north, and the south. In the sky stood the figures in large letters, 1929. The messenger said, I have shown you the vision and will come and see you again. And he left. Amen. Now, I noticed that he said, the messenger said, look. And he said he saw the ground had raised. And this time he see the woman again, but now she's in a better dress. She's smiling. Her clothes were white. So when you go to Revelation 12 and 1, and he said her hat was very fine and became in the shape of a crown with 12 bright stars. So when you go to Revelation 12 and 1, see, that's the church. See, I know some people say, well, that's Mary and the baby of Jesus. No, that's the church. That's the church. The woman that was clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her hair a crown of 12 bright stars, which represent the 12 apostles, who was close in authority to Christ. And she was clothed with the sun, representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The moon under her feet represents the old law of Moses, which is no longer in effect. It was under her feet. Hallelujah. Glory. And so he see this woman now. She's looking better, okay? She's been restored. Amen. And he said, her children were coming to her from every clime, even from the valley. Now, remember what he saw in the first vision. Remember, this is like two visions. In the first vision, they was in the valley among the fog and the mist and the rivers of torrents of rivers. And when he heard all kinds of yelling, and remember, she said, some of her children are down there. They are in danger. Some will be lost. Now, notice she said some will be lost. Now, when he see the second vision, her being restored and things now better, her children were coming to her every clime, even from the valley. Who was that? The ones who heard her voice. See, at first when she spoke, they paid her no attention. Okay. But now she's in a better condition. Okay. So those that hear her voice will come out of there. And remember, you know, hallelujah. See everyone wasn't coming from the valley. Because remember what he saw in the first vision, what she said. She said, some of my children down there, they are in danger, and some will be lost. Some will be lost. But there are going to be some that's going to hold on. And they're going to hear the voice of the church that Christ set up, and they're going to come into that way. Amen. They're going to come into that way. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, her children were coming from every clime, even from the valley. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. This is what he saw in the vision, people. Hallelujah. He said, the mist had raised. They were slowly building on the temple. Okay. They were slowly building on the temple. They was building on the temple of the Lord. See, the temple of the Lord is going to be built, people. It's going to be built. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. The temple of the Lord is going to be built. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're grateful to, you know, God is a keeper of his word. And see, the messenger said, the last thing he said to Brother Fetty on this day, he said, I have shown you the vision and will come and see you again. And he left. Because, see, he has to continue to come until the work is finished. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, people. Now, I know some of you hearing this, you say, oh, man, you just far-fetched. You coming up with some moco joco or whatever. Here's another person going off the deep end. Well, you can say what you want to, but I know this is of God. You know, it would bother me if I didn't know that this work of the Lord Jesus Christ was true. It would bother me to a point that I would be even ashamed to stand for this work if I didn't know it was true. But see, I know it's true. And what some of you are saying and thinking, hey, remember, I wasn't always saved. I was on the outside looking in like you. So I can understand to some extent of you being kind of skeptical, sir, per se, because you got a whole lot of people out there coming up with a God show this, God doing that, angel visit me, blah, blah, blah. I understand. I get that. Okay. But however, you have to be watchful that you don't make the mistake of going too far over to a point where God may be actually doing a work or doing a thing, but because of what you experience of people who weren't true, you're letting it cloud your judgment, and you are coming with the wrong judgment on something that is of God. Okay? And see, you have to be careful there, people. You know, amen. When the Lord, and many of y'all heard my story of how I came into this way, came to the Church of Christ, in fact, how I got saved. Once again, I was going with this young lady. And I had been going with her from high school. I didn't get saved till I was 19 years old. And I had been going with her since I think I was 17. So all of a sudden she's going to church and she invites me. Well, you know, naturally I go with her. Boom, I'm going to go with her because what? Why am I going? For the Lord? No. Wasn't going for the Lord. I was going because of her. Quote, want to please her. But here's the interesting thing. When I really start to look at this word, and when it became interesting to me personally, I'm talking about to a point where it was no more just going to church because of her, but it was going to church to meet the Lord. That's when things changed. You understand what I'm saying? And the late Brother Clark, who God used to bring this message to Mississippi, he would say many times that if you don't know that the work, this work of the Lord Jesus Christ is true, you better get a witness. He didn't get up there and say, well, you better believe this because I said it. He didn't say nothing like that. He didn't talk like that. But he many times was pointing to people to say, hey, if you don't know that this work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, if you don't know that this is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better go ask for a witness. You better get yourself a witness. And I'm going to tell you something. God started witnessing to me in my heart. Okay? He started showing me that, you know, I really, in my heart, started accepting these words of the Lord. And come to find out that this thing is real. Okay? But see, I had to seek God for myself. Just like I'm telling those of you that are listening. Many of you are listening once again, and you're like, okay, well, Brother Nate, I haven't got a yay or nay. I mean, I can't say it is, and I can't say it's not. I understand that. I get it. I understand it. Jesus is not dead. Go before him in prayer. And when you ask him, just stay there on your knees. Don't just ask him to get up. Stay there on your knees and wait. Amen? Stay there on your knees and wait. Hallelujah. And watch what the Lord Jesus Christ tells you. Now, some of you that's listening, you said, well, if this is true, I don't understand what's the purpose of this work. Well, one of the purposes of this work that Jesus Christ is doing is to bring Christianity fully together as one. Now, let's be honest here and not cut no corners. If you sit there and say that we are all one because we're serving the same God, you are not telling the truth, and you know it. You know for yourself, I know for myself, and many others of you that are listening, that Christianity is not fully together. You know that. If you say it is, then you're not telling the truth, and you know you're not telling the truth. Amen. Man, we can just go with denominational titles alone just to prove that we're not together. See, we throw up that we all serving the same God, we got the same Father thing. We throw that up to cover up our shortcoming. But I don't care what you try to use to cover it up, your shortcoming is still there. It has to be repented of. And see, Jesus knows that because Jesus, you know, when he was here on this earth, when he was crucified and rose, and when he set his church up, he didn't set up a separated church. No, he didn't set up no separated church. And so we preach that Christ will return, which is true. So guess what, people? He's not coming back to a separated church. I don't know where we get to thinking like he is. The condition of Christianity. I ain't talking about them religions out there. Stuff like, no, I'm talking about Christianity itself. The condition of Christianity, there's no way he's coming back for a church in the condition that she's in now. There's no way. And we're studying preaching a message, rapture, and talking about any day we can be gone. And I'm like, gone where? You think Christ is coming to snatch his folks up in the condition we in today? If you do, you have not understand the work of the Lord Jesus when he was here on this earth the first time. You don't understand it. Amen. And he's not coming to a separated house. Remember what he said in the word? He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Do you understand that? A house divided. Right now in Christianity, we are divided. Amen. And in many areas, it have upgrade. We could just talk about the homosexuality agenda. Now, in many of the churches, you got pastors coming out saying they live in a homosexual life and is not planning to change. And what has it caused? Splits in the churches. And you got half of the church saying, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. He's still our pastor, and, you know, he ain't hurt nobody. And then you got the other part saying, but that's abomination in the sight of God. So you got to split. Amen? Hallelujah. As well as many other things, people. Thank you, Jesus. And see, here's the thing. Christianity is in this condition, and we still haven't seen the greatest havoc yet to come yet. Wow. I'm talking about the rise of the Antichrist, the main one. We ain't even came across, we've come across some Antichrist. I'm talking about when the main one arrived, because back in the days of the early church, there was an Antichrist in their day. And they came across him, and we're no better than them. We definitely is no better than them, because they put us to shame. Their faith was greater, the power among them was greater. Okay? Yeah, they begin to fall off. But look at us today. Little power here, little power there. Amen? And sin is being allowed so much more in the churches. It's just ridiculous. Some of the pastors are scared to say something. Some of the pastors enjoy that sin they see. You understand what I'm saying? The people in the church, many of them consider a church is where you can do whatever you want to do and not be held accountable. That's what they consider. Because, see, people, more and more people are starting to join churches where there's no accountability. Because soon as that pastor get up there and says something about fornication or shacking, and you sit down in the audience and you know that's you, now you get mad, but huff and puff, talking about he picking you on you, and now you finna leave and go to another church. And sometimes the pastor or some of the members of the other church know you left the church that you was at because the pastor was talking about fornication, and they'll tell you in the heartbeat, come on over here. Why? Because now you got many churches today, they interested in numbers. That's why someone is contending with one another. Who can build the biggest building? Who can get the most pews? Who can get the most pews filled up? Who can come before the other and brag and say, hey, at Sunday school, we got 125 strong. How many you have? Amen. Thinking that's the impressive thing. But if you have 500 people who was wavering, not for the Lord and all that, but one who was, give me the one that's for the Lord. Amen. And so, you know, this is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he's doing it. Okay. And I'm just glad to be able to share this with you. Once again, when the Lord started revealing to me about this work, and I really began to meditate on the word of the Lord here that Jesus sent through his angel, and following the scriptures even from the Bible. Listen, once I applied myself to study, searching, seeking, that's when God was able to reveal things to me. Some of you is sitting there, you act like you wait for God to drop revelation out the sky dead in your lap. You don't make no effort to open up the word of God to see if it's true. You make no effort to study the word of God. You know, we comes on here and give you scripture from the word of the Lord and then give you the Bible scripture for it to let you pair it up. And some of you are not even doing that. But you study talking about, it ain't true, it ain't true. I'm like, how do you know? Because it don't sound good to your ears. Amen. And when God started revealing to me that this work was true, that he truly had been sending an angel, then it took on a whole new meaning for me. And like I told you, it wasn't no more going to church because I was going with this young lady now. No, this is now going to church because this is me and the Lord now. So there were some times where she didn't go, I went. Okay? I went to service. Amen. And that's why, you know, in the Church of Christ, the lies are messy. We have had a bunch of contention, people. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. See, the work of the Lord and the way of the Lord is not tainted. People can be tainted. See, this is what people are missing. Just because Pastor Joe is fooling around with a bunch of women and not living godly, people act like it's the word of God. No, it's not the word of God. That's Pastor Joe. The word of God is still holy and pure. You don't turn away from the word because Pastor Joe ain't being faithful. Do you understand that? But see, people got it backwards. They catch Pastor Joe and his unfaithfulness. Now they ain't want nothing to do with God. And I'm like, what did God do to you? Okay? What did he do to you for you to treat him like that? See, some of you have caught brothers and sisters who you thought was true doing some sinful stuff, and now you don't even study no more, you don't pray no more, you don't even come to service. And when somebody asks you why, the first thing you say, well, the people in the church ain't right. Well, guess what? If none of them was right, the word of God is. You understand what I'm saying? See, you're getting it mixed up. You're cutting off your lifeline, okay? People ain't your lifeline. Jesus is your lifeline. He said in John 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. See, the branch gets the nourishment from the vine, not the people, or not another branch. It gets it from the vine, okay? And see, we got it mixed up. And so when supposed to be Christians start being unfaithful, we act like we take it out on God. So we quit praying, we quit studying, we quit having any communication with God. We just cut it all off. Why? Because Pastor Joe was unfaithful, Sister Mary was unfaithful, and she's cussing and going off on folks. And so we just cut God off. Quit coming to service. And when somebody asks us, why you don't come to service no more? Well, I don't come to service and blah, 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 and I don't get in the word of God because people ain't right. Well, what do they got with dealing with you and Jesus? See, the Church of Christ and Lies Method, we've had splits, contentions, you name it. But this is why I thank God for knowing in my heart that this work is true. Despite all that, I'm not going to turn around and say, oh, God ain't sending no angel, Jesus ain't sending no angel, because I see all this stuff that's been going on even in the Church of Christ and Lies Message that is senseless, okay? Amen. I'm not going to let it turn me away from Christ, because it is people. It ain't Jesus. Jesus not the one being contentious. Jesus not the one operating in the flesh, it's people. So why would I hold God accountable for something that people are doing? You understand what I'm saying? Why would I take it out on him? See, it don't make no sense. See, I'd be cutting off my own lifeline, people. You understand what I'm saying? All right, hallelujah. I sent the Holy Ghost. I'll be cutting off my own lifeline. If I sit up there and I'm mad at the folks because they're cutting up and contentious and acting, blah, 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 and all that, and I'm, oh, shoot, I'm tired of this. And all of a sudden, I done quit getting in the Word. I done quit praying, quit having any kind of communication with God. What is I'm doing that for? I'm killing myself. That's what I'm doing. And then when you come to me and say, well, Brother Nate, why you ain't doing no more? Because people in the church ain't right. Okay. I said the key. People in the church ain't right. I didn't say Jesus. But once again, we act like we're taking it out on the Lord, like we hold Jesus accountable. You understand what I'm saying? So, hear the message, people. Hear the message. You ain't got so much a necessary quote here, but Nate, hear the message. Hear the message that's been given. And choose. Does it line up with the word? Is it contradictory of the word? Does it bring the bearing of the instant witness in your spirit? Hear the message. That's what I'm saying to you. Hear the message. Well, don't so much as worry about Brother Nate. Yeah, Brother Nate have faults. I have shortcomings. My God, God is still working on me. I'm not all the way there yet. But I'm telling you, hear the message. Hear the message, okay? Hallelujah. Because that's when the smoke clears, and as my brother Manny would say, at the end of the day, that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to deliver you, the word of the Lord, not the word of Brother Nate. And Brother Nate's name definitely can't do nothing for you against no demon. If you go against a devil, tell me I rebuke you the name of Brother Nate. Once they get finished giggling and laughing and fall on the floor, they're going to get up and stop doing a number on you. So my name don't have no power, hallelujah, to cause demon behavior, but Jesus' name does. Amen. His name does. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the end of this second message. Once again, it ended off with a vision. And I am just grateful to the Lord to have this opportunity to present this to you. I'm grateful because I am humbled that God has given me such a chance to do this. And I don't know all there is to this work. I'll be lying to you if I don't. So God is still revealing more unto me about this work. But I tell you this thing, God is letting me see more and more the place of this work. Because in this work that is authored by Christ, started by Christ, the originator is Christ, built by Christ, this way is a way to hold up the standard of the Lord. And I see in many of the churches and among prominent, quote, leaders and those who are big time and all that, who's giving in and doing sinful stuff and not warning the people, I see that it's failing among them. Okay? I see that. Because now many in the church is caught up in the name of glory. Not the glory of God, but glory for themselves. They caught up in titles to be called a dynamic, the outstanding, the wonderful, you know. And many in Christianity is living like Hollywood, living like, quote, rich folks, trying to live glamorous and saying this is the godly life. Well, I wonder, what about those who are not living glamorous but have Jesus in their life? Can they live the godly life without the, quote, glamour? Can they? Or do they have to show a Bentley, a Lamborghini in their house, a two big three-story house? Do they have to show that to say, this is living godly? I leave that for you to think on. But I am grateful once again for this broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night is Friday night, for those of you that have been following Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and myself. Also, the Voice of the Handmaidens night. We thank God for that. We will be joined by the Sisters in Christ. Look for the advertisement. The Lord say the same at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. Praise be to God. As well as Saturday night. Because we know that Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and myself is Friday and Saturdays. And therefore, stay tuned and look for the advertisement. Praise be to God. So once again, I am grateful for this opportunity and chance to share the word of God with you. Thank God for all of you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, because once again, we're at the end of the broadcast, but not the end of your word. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to present the word of God unto those who are listening. I'm grateful that you're watering the seed in our soul and you're bringing forth the increase. I am grateful, Lord, that you're showing your hand and showing them that this work is true, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, I thank you for everyone that was listening, far and abroad, here, anywhere. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And, Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. So, praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. Once again, this is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. We give you glory.